Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure I'm not the only one here who is eager for this Tuesday to come and then to go away. It's been another year of constant bombardment with political ads, campaigning, half-truths, lies, propaganda, and empty promises on the part of politicians. And to be honest, it's been 2 years of a lot of people in this country working not just to choose new leaders in a new election, which is legitimate, but wickedly trying to overturn the decision made by the American voters in 2016. What is the Christian's responsibility in the face of so much ugliness in the political realm? What is the Christian's role as citizen of both the heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom? Jesus gives us some guidance in today's gospel for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity, which, strangely, falls just 2 days before the next election in the United States. Very simply, Jesus would have you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, he said those words in response to the trap question posed to him by the Pharisees in our gospel. As many trap questions go also in our world today, this one began with bald-faced flattery. Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. And their words are just dripping with slime, aren't they? Buttering someone up, trying to bait them into saying more than they should say, into telling maybe more truth than they intended to tell. Tell us, therefore, they said, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, you have to understand the political climate at that time. Israel still existed as a nation, but it had fallen under the umbrella control of the Roman Empire, whose emperors were still using the title of Caesar at that time, after Julius Caesar, of course, whose military and political exploits greatly expanded the power of Rome and its empire. Rome had divided the land of Israel up into four different tetrarchies, or areas ruled by a tetrarch or a governor, and they were to serve Rome by keeping the Jews in their territories under control. As a result, the Jews were living under the general belief that to be pro-Caesar was to be anti-Israel and anti-God. And to be pro-God and pro-Israel, you had to be anti-Caesar. So the Pharisees put this yes or no question to Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar. And they made sure, as our gospel tells us, that they had some Herodians with them, that is, servants of Herod, who was one of those four tetrarchs serving the Roman Empire placed over the Jews. So if Jesus answered, no, it isn't lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, then Herod's men would have him arrested on the spot for inciting rebellion against Rome. And if he said, well, yes, it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, then the fanatical Jews who hated Rome and were constantly trying to start another revolt would have either cut him down or abandoned him immediately. Either way, the Pharisees would have won. But Jesus, smarter than everyone, was smarter than them here too, and didn't give them a yes or no question, although it could have been answered that way. Instead, he defeats their trap by reframing the argument, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius, which is very likely very much like the one on the front cover of your service folder today. Tiberius was the reigning Caesar at the time of Jesus, and this is his image. So they showed him the image, and he says, "Whose image and description is it?" They said, "It's Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The fact that Caesar had conquered the land of Israel didn't mean that God's people should rebel against Caesar. It wasn't God versus Caesar as God saw it. Caesar, who represents all secular rulers here, has his place in the world, a place given to him by God, with a specific scope of authority given to him by God. Even though Caesar and his entire government in Rome at that time were not believers in the true God or citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And the Christian, as a permanent citizen of heaven, who has also been made a temporary citizen under Caesar, is to be neither anti-God nor anti-Caesar. But we're taught to recognize the place of each and to fulfill our responsibilities toward them both. Certain things belong to Caesar, but all things belong to God. So you should pay taxes to Caesar. And you should render earthly obedience to Caesar. You should even honor Caesar in your heart and in your speech. As Paul writes in Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Therefore, you must be subject," Paul writes, "not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Paying taxes to Caesar, obeying Caesar, honoring Caesar doesn't mean that you're in favor of everything Caesar does. It simply means that you recognize that God, for his own reasons and with his own purposes, has chosen to give certain tasks to sinful and sometimes godless, unbelieving earthly rulers. And he has chosen to place you in a nation in which you were born. As Paul preached to the Athenians, "God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord." If you were born here in America, it wasn't luck, it wasn't fate, it wasn't without purpose. You were born here because God pre-appointed it to be. And if you were born in another country, you were born there because God appointed it for you. Why? Paul said, "so that you might seek him." You see, God appointed sinful secular authorities so that they might keep a measure of peace among their sinful citizens in this dying, self-destructing world where everything marches toward chaos, toward selfishness, toward violence, and toward destruction, as we saw today in the Sunday school lesson 2 about the Tower of Babel. In order to seek God, you have to know Him. In order to know Him, you have to hear about Him. And in order to hear about Him, you have to be able to live in this world, to have some measure of peace and safety. And preachers have to have some measure of freedom to preach. Ultimately, God has put Caesar in place so that his gospel might be proclaimed and heard. This is why Paul writes to Timothy as a matter of such great importance, "I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, even as you render unto God the things that are God's," all of which is easy enough for our modern ears to hear because the name Caesar doesn't really offend too many people today. It's easy to hear until we replace the name Caesar with the name of the authorities in our time, whom God has actually placed over us. For example, how many of you would have actually been glad to hear 2 years ago, "Render unto Obama the things that are Obama's"? Or today, how many Christians in this country are glad to hear, "Render unto Trump the things that are Trump's"? Our sinful nature, truthfully, doesn't like to render anything to anyone if it conflicts with what the self wants, with what the self thinks. The very idea of someone having authority over us is repulsive to the sinful flesh, and all the more when that person says or does things that we don't like. The flesh lives in rebellion against God, which often means living in rebellion against the governing authorities, whether openly or just in your heart and in your speech. Repent of that rebelliousness and turn in faith to Christ for forgiveness. Recognize that He has freely given you a citizenship in a far better kingdom than the United States of America. But until God changes your permanent place of residence to that heavenly kingdom, render unto God the things that are God's here below by rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's: taxes, obedience, and honor. Be content with your citizenship here on earth, which is really relatively easy, isn't it, for us in America? And perhaps harder for those who live in other countries. But the same command applies to all. So, yes, the mass exodus of those caravans of people from their own Caesars and their apparent insistence that our Caesar take them under his protection, even as they carry the flags of their own Caesars, is nothing but rebellion against God, who has placed all of us where He wanted us for a reason. So be content with your citizenship. Be content with your Caesar. Render unto him the things that God has given him, whether he's good or evil, godly or wicked. Vote in the elections as part of that rendering. Only be careful that you don't give your vote to any candidate who promises to do the opposite of what God commands the authorities to do, to protect the innocent within their kingdom and to punish the evildoers. There are candidates here in New Mexico who openly defy God's commandments, especially when it comes to unborn children. Make sure you don't become complicit in their wickedness by giving them the power to carry out their evil plans. Still, regardless of how you or anyone votes, or regardless of who gets into any office, God knows how to rule His universe, even through wicked rulers. Christ has ascended, as we sang in the hymn before the sermon, and reigns over all things, even through those wicked rulers. And He will build His church in spite of every obstacle. Remain focused then on the better kingdom that awaits, as Paul encouraged us in today's epistle. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.